Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
When Illinois legalized recreational marijuana in 2020, it was landmark legislative action. But the Pritzker administration vowed to also make it a major step forward for equity, with Black and Latino-owned businesses getting a piece of the new industry. Well, some argue that that hasn't happened very much at all. This weekend, we're going to hear from both sides of this issue. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. A group called the National Black Empowerment Action Fund is calling out the Pritzker administration for broken promises on the handling of cannabis and clean energy programs. The Atlanta-based NBEAF describes itself as a leading Black advocacy group, but to be honest, there are criticisms about all of this that we have heard for the last few years from groups closer to home as well. So they must be talked about, and that's what we're going to do this weekend. We're first going to hear from Richard St. Paul. He's senior advisor to the NBEAF. He's an attorney from White Plains, New York, who specializes in civil rights, employment, and election laws. And I thank you for joining me and speaking with me.
Craig, it's great to be here, and thank you very much for having us. Craig, first I want to just thank you for bringing this topic, this very important topic, up for people of Illinois. The fact that from this particular topic, the governor had promised 63,000 jobs, and what brought this to the attention of the National Black Empowerment Action Fund was the fact that unemployment in the Black community is so high in Illinois. In fact, Illinois has the second highest unemployment rate among Blacks than any other state in the country. The first one, of course, is Kentucky. And then out of the big states like Texas and New York, Illinois is number one. So when we see something like that, those inequities happening, where you have something that is going to something that's supposed to create jobs for Blacks in Illinois, and we see such a high unemployment rate, that attracts our attention.
And I can see why. It has attracted the attention of people here as well. The National Black Empowerment Action Fund report suggests that Illinois' plans for minority involvement went wrong really from the very beginning. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. So from the very beginning, when the legislation was passed in about 2019, there were supposed to be social equity licenses issued. And a social equity license essentially means that you have been affected by the war on drugs, that you have either been arrested for a marijuana charge, or you, for example, or you've had like a family member that's been arrested for a marijuana charge. If you had that, you were supposed to be first in line to be able to get a license, whether it be the dispensary or cultivation. Of the 4,000 social equity licenses that were applied for, only 21 were granted. So that's a very, that's not even 10%. That's like less than 1%. So that was an issue. Now, I want everybody to remember that Governor Pritzker had made this promise to the people of Illinois, and especially those that were hardest hit. He said that he wanted to, with the cannabis legislation that he signed, he wanted to right the wrongs of a failed drug war, which meant jobs and opportunities in the communities that were hit hardest. And we know the communities that were hit hardest were communities of color, in particular, Black communities. He also went on to say that this means that more resources were going to ensure that Illinois' cannabis industry was the most equitable in the country. And we'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit about how inequitable it has been, but he has not lived up to that promise he made.
And I think it's also important to point out that at the very beginning of this industry, the first people in were established medical marijuana purveyors, and they were not social equity people, and so it seems like, you know, some people had a head start to get the entire ball rolling.
Well, even there, you had someone like Illinois Grown Medicine, which was a Black-owned medicinal company that was cultivating marijuana, or cannabis, I should say. And it took them, from the time they applied, it took them about a year to get that particular license. And that was back some time ago. You know, in fact, in Chicago, you really didn't have a dispensary license go to a Black-owned company until approximately 2023. And I believe the name of that company is Grasshopper Club, which is in Chicago. And again, it took them until 2023 to be the first Black-owned cannabis shop, dispensary shop.
Well, Richard, can you give me a sense of what the landscape looks like now, 4 years down the road, when it comes to Black and Latino involvement in an industry that's bringing in a lot of money and a lot of tax revenue for the state?
Yeah, in fact, you want to talk about tax revenue, you know, the tax revenue from the state is in 2023 was about $1.58 billion in tax. So obviously the state is benefiting from the booming cannabis industry. However, those that were hardest hit, which is the Black community, has not benefited from it. And so when we look at the who has the cultivation, that means you can grow cannabis, and dispensary, you can sell cannabis, who has those licenses, by far it is people who have businesses that are owned by white entrepreneurs and corporations. They are who dominate the cannabis business in Illinois. That there's such an inequity there that you have about 23% of Black businesses who are now being able to, that grew from, it took a number of years to get to that point. So we're about 23 who are Black owned cannabis in our dispensaries or cultivation. So that's about 23% that belong to Black entrepreneurs that belong to that group. So when you look at, 100 minus 23, right, you do those numbers there, that most of that is dominated by white entrepreneurs. That's a huge inequity. And remember, Governor Pritzker said that he wanted to make Illinois the most equitable in the country. And that's not what's happening.
And I know your report covers this. The state was supposed to fix this with some changes. How did that go?
Well, that's how we got to 23%, from single digits to 23%, to approximately 23%. Now, here's the thing. You made a great point. The state was supposed to fix that, right? This is why we have produced this report, and this is exactly why we are discussing this in terms of who should be held accountable. Because part of what National Black Empowerment Action Fund does is hold electeds accountable to those that are supposed to produce for the Black community. If you're representing the Black community, then we want you to be effective in the Black community, because the Black community and the economics and the issues in the Black community is just not a Black issue, but it's an American issue. It's an issue for the state of Illinois. And to your point earlier about the state, the governor, Governor Pritzker, has the ability, with the stroke of a pen and a phone call and a couple of meetings, to make a difference. Why? Is because he is in control and in charge of all agencies and the entire executive government that is supposed to enforce and promote the cannabis legislation. He's the executor, which means you execute. So since he's in charge of executing, he has the ability to make that change. And we're hoping that based upon this information, this report, that the governor's office will make that particular change and live up to what he said. Make the cannabis industry in Illinois the most equitable in the country. That will provide so much more of an economic opportunity for those that were hardest hit, again, the Black community. That will provide a huge economic opportunity for people, Black people in Illinois, Chicago, and all the other places in Illinois.
What are the biggest changes that the governor, that the administration could make at this point that could begin to shift the balance a little bit more fairly?
Oh, that's easy. That's so easy. You need licenses and cultivation. You need licenses and dispensary. You need to have a fast track system for those licenses for Black applicants. And then you also, to the best of the ability, to provide capital, access to capital for these businesses. Startup costs are expensive, and the cannabis business is different, is different from other businesses because, one, for example, the amount of security you have to have in the cannabis business, which is required by the state legislators and the law, the fact that you can't use every bank, so you have you keep cash with you, and so that those costs again back to security. In addition to that, costs that relate to the operation, the fact that you can't, like a normal business, you can't deduct things because it's a cannabis business. It's not recognized by the IRS, so you can't deduct a lot of expenses. So providing access to capital is key, not just in the cannabis industry, but in any entrepreneurship industry that exists that is going to help Black people.
Now, you're in New York, and I know that New York State had kind of a rocky start with its businesses, too, but I understand things got better there. What did they do?
Well, look, Governor, Governor Hochul, you had the appointment of a cannabis czar, so to speak. You had the social equity licenses actually being processed. Social equity means that you were affected by the war on drugs. Either you were arrested for cannabis carrying or your family member was arrested. But they took the social equity applications very seriously, and they put those folks to the front of the line over special interests and corporations. And that's the key. The key is put those that were hardest hit ahead of special interests and corporations, and you come more into line of an equitable situation. And that's what New York did.
Mm. Now, is there anything that you think Illinois did get right?
Well, they got right the passage of the legislation for the cannabis in terms of, one, how it affects the Black community and the rest. So decriminalizing a lot of the marijuana charges. Two, the fact that there is legislation for the cannabis, any opportunity, even though it's inequitable at this time, the opportunity exists to create a business in the cannabis industry, both in terms of dispensing and cultivation. So that is right. That is following the lead of a lot of the states, especially, again, where people were hardest hit. And we all know the population, Black population in Illinois is significant, as it is in New York, as it is in other parts of the country. And so that is part of getting it right, is making it, decriminalizing marijuana and offering opportunities for in a cannabis business.
So what would your advice be to those people who are here in Illinois who are thinking about getting into the business or looking at things and saying, wow, the deck is stacked. How hopeful are you that this can be turned around?
Very hopeful, because it's all within the control of the governor's office. So again, you know, we're here to educate. We're happy if people want to come and join us in this issue, learn more about our report, get a copy of our report.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You can go to www.nbeaf, National Black Empowerment Action Fund.org. So nbeaf.org. Get a copy of the report. They should talk to their local legislators. They should call the governor's office and tell them to. Just very simply, live up to your word, make Illinois the most social equitable cannabis state in the country, provide opportunities for those that were hardest hit, which are people in the Black community. Just live up to your words. If people advocate on behalf of themselves, like we do as an organization, advocate on behalf of Black people, we will be successful. Because we are the ones that put folks into office, and we are the ones that can take people out of office. The power has been and always will be with the people.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and we're talking about cannabis and equity in Illinois. You just heard from Richard St. Paul, senior advisor to the National Black Empowerment Action Fund. And now we turn to a top official in the Pritzker administration. Aaron Johnson is Illinois' Cannabis Regulation Oversight Officer. Prior to taking over that job, she was Associate Corporation Counsel at Amazon and Chief of Staff at the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice. Aaron Johnson, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I think it's fair to say that complaints about minority participation in Illinois' cannabis industry have been voiced almost since recreational marijuana was legalized. So can you put things into focus for us from the state's perspective?
Absolutely. So I think the most important thing to remember when we talk about Illinois is that we were the first state to really focus on social equity. And so other states who have followed have used our program as a guidepost. And I will say I am proud to work here because we are truly the most diverse cannabis industry in the entire country. So the day that cannabis became legal, there was 0% majority-owned firms, majority Black-owned firms in the state of Illinois. Today, 27% of the licenses that we have are majority Black-owned. 5% are majority Latino-owned. 14% are majority owned by a coalition of minorities, and 16% are majority owned by women. Truly just amazing numbers. And we can say firmly that we are the most diverse industry in the country. So we are proud of that. And of course, that meant that it came with growing pains. Everything didn't roll out perfectly. We had a 2-year-long injunction that prevented licenses from going out. But we were able to get those licenses out starting in July and August of 2022. And we have been on a roll ever since. So as of today, we're proud that 103 social equity dispensaries are open and serving the public around the state. We have 16 craft growers open, 11 infusers, and over 100 transporters. So we feel like we are in good shape and we're only growing.
Well, and as you point out, there were some growing pains at the beginning, and that's that in some way set the tone for a lot of the for especially Black and Latino businesses. But how would you assess the fact that it started using the existing medical marijuana dispensaries and firms? And did that make it harder for others to catch up?
I would say, I know that that's been, there's been criticism of that in many states, but the reality of the situation is when the governor signed the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act and our light switch literally turned on January 1st of 2020, had we not grandfathered in the folks who were operating in the medical space, there would have been nothing for people to purchase January 1. It would have just been impossible. You cannot set up a market, an entire market, a growing ecosystem in 3, 4, 5 months and turn it on and have a supply enough to allow anybody in the state of Illinois to purchase. So that's just unrealistic. And that is why, though, we focus so heavily on social equity and making sure that every single license we gave out after those folks who are grandfathered in has been social equity. So I know there's been some criticism of Illinois, but I just want to say New York, it is true 55% of their licenses have gone to social equity applicants. 80% of the licenses in the state of Illinois have gone to social equity licensees.
One of the concerns has been how many of these companies, first off, can get the financing to get started. And how many are still going? How are we doing on that score?
Yeah, so as of today, again, we have 103 social equity dispensaries that are up and running. And I think one of the other really pioneering things that the state of Illinois has done is really work with the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, so DCEO in Illinois for short. They have invested $70 million in financing direct forgivable loans for social equity applicants. And that means craft growers, dispensaries, transporters, and infusers. They gave out $18.3 million in direct forgivable loans to craft growers, infusers, and transporters. They're giving out another $10 million to dispensaries. And then a third round of direct forgivable loans up to a total of $40 million will be dispersed later probably in the next 6 or so months. So we are making unprecedented investments in the folks that we want to stand up their businesses in Illinois and to make them grow and thrive. And so we are really putting our money where our mouth is as it relates to social equity.
Are the banks participating at the level that you would like to see?
Unfortunately not. And that's not something that we can necessarily control in the state of Illinois because cannabis is still Schedule One on our from the Controlled Substances Act. So we that is a hurdle we have to overcome. Federally insured, FDIC insured banks are basically prohibited from participating in this market. And so we've been doing a lot of work in the state to find credit unions and those sorts of institutions who are able to are able and willing to play in this space. And that is difficult just because of the overall financials. Unlike other states, we're proud of this, but unlike other states who have seen their cannabis market decline and shrink, ours is still expanding. You know, we're up about 5% year over year. And so we are trying to help folks connect with those credit unions and other sort of state charter banks who might have access capital to lend. But it is difficult just because of the federal landscape of cannabis.
Is it difficult or is it possible, I should say, for new people to get into the business? Are you seeing renewal if some companies aren't able to keep going?
Yeah, so luckily in the state, we have not seen a bunch of companies fold. We are not suffering sort of in the way that unfortunately that Michigan and California and other states like that who've been in this industry a little bit longer than us have seen. We've seen steady growth. We have seen people renew their licenses every year. The Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulations just recently issued another 47 conditional licenses from a lottery that was held in July of last year. So we will see another, hopefully 55 in the end, folks come online soon.
What are the requirements and some would say hurdles of that any new company, new licensees have to overcome?
I think that basically, I think one of the hurdles is access to capital. And we know that, again, it's the federal limitations. That is why the state is putting so much money towards helping folks get open and thrive, because we know as soon as folks open their door, they're able to make a profit. And so we want to help them get open. That's the largest hurdle. I think my office and the other state agencies who deal with cannabis, we are in almost constant contact with our licensees and really trying to figure out what their problems are and then troubleshoot. Because obviously this is still a new industry, even though it's 4 years old, it's still new and obviously a difficult federal landscape. So we are always trying to troubleshoot with them. But access to capital remains the sort of number one hurdle for folks. Once they win the lottery, literally win the lottery and get their license to operate here.
And a little talk about the federal landscape. Are you hoping that that there will be some kind of movement at the federal level to change the landscape and change the regulations that are now restricting stronger banks from being part of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think so one of the things that we were able to do in the state to kind of reduce the burden on our companies. So for context, three of the largest multi-state operators, cannabis multi-state operators in the country are headquartered in Chicago. And so we kind of have a little bit of an outsized influence, which is good. It's nice because we deal with folks who are literally operating in any other state that where cannabis is legal. And so one thing we were able to do last year in the legislative session is reduce the regulatory burden by allowing them to take, we call 280E business deductions on their state tax returns. And that's something they can't do federally because technically the federal government views them as being drug dealers, essentially, and they're not able to take those business deductions. So if the federal government, through the Safer Banking Act, and also rescheduling could ease those tax liabilities, that would be something that would go a long way, both to the multi-state operators, but also to the small businesses, the social equity folks who are opening. They're all facing the same hurdles in that respect.
Another thing, everybody thinks of the dispensaries because that's what they see on the street corners. But as you've mentioned, when you've listed what other things, are you seeing any growth in the other parts of the business for the social equity partners?
Absolutely. And so, again, every single license holder who's gotten their license after essentially January 20th, 2020, or January 1st, 2020, excuse me, has qualified for social equity. And so our craft growers and our infusers are the folks who really... they make the edibles, they grow the plants to make the flower to send to the dispensary. So they are integral to this process. And we have seen a growth in them opening and thriving as well. So when I started in November of 2022, there was one craft grower open, and today there are 16. Now, obviously, 16 is not the same as saying that there are 103 dispensaries open. But that really is because the financial burden on the craft growers is just, I think it's about five times more expensive to open a craft grow than it is to open a dispensary, just because of the square footage, the equipment, the energy needs that you have. And so in all told, it costs about $5 million to open a craft grow today. And so that's why that DCEO loan program was really targeted at the craft growers and the infusers at first, because we knew that their financial burdens were much greater than the dispensaries at that point.
The last thing, is there any, I mean, what's the next step? Is there anything else that the state can or should be doing to keep this moving forward?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say there are a couple of things that we are absolutely working on. And we have the total support of the governor, which is always helpful when we are trying to push monumental shifts in policy. But one of the things that we have been working on and will continue to work on from my office is really trying to set out a pilot program to help craft growers get up and running because it is so expensive for them. So we have been really working on that for the last 6 months and will continue to do so, so we can hopefully launch something that is really impactful from day one for the craft growers who are struggling to open. The other thing really, truly, that's not what this interview is about, but it's the truth. We are looking at hemp and how hemp is impacting, intoxicating hemp in particular, impacting the cannabis market, because what we don't want to happen is see our cannabis businesses, our social equity, small businesses, struggling to compete with folks who are selling product that's unregulated and untaxed. And can be bought cheaper because it is unregulated and untaxed in our state.
Well, thank you very much. That is Erin Johnson. She is Illinois' Cannabis Regulation Oversight Officer. I thank you very much for joining us. And I have to thank as well Richard St. Paul of the NBEAF. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dullimore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.